Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Tuesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm continuing a series that I started yesterday talking about hardness of heart. I have a book on this, a CD album, a DVD album as seen on TV. And I tell you, this is just one of the teachings that God has used to literally transform my heart. I'm very excited about sharing this with you. I believe it is going to make a huge difference in your life. Yesterday, as I began to introduce this subject, I basically just was trying to say that most people are praying for change in many different areas of their life, but it's like they are looking for the change to come externally. They're wanting their finances to just change. They want to win the lottery, but they don't realize that your financial situation is really a reflection of where your heart is. Many people I know that are watching this program disagree and say, oh no, it's this circumstance. It's what this person has done. It's the fact that I don't have this education. If I had this, and they're looking for all of these things external. But I can guarantee you, I could take a totally different approach and teach for a month on just how everything comes out of the heart. I was using the scripture yesterday out of Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, where it says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Your life issues out of your heart. As you think in your heart, that's the way that you are, Proverbs 23, 7. And on and on and on the scriptures go. So yesterday, as I began to introduce this subject, I was basically just talking about that instead of praying for change outwardly, what we need to do is change in our heart level. And when your heart changes, as you think in your heart, that's the way you'll be. If you begin to truly see yourself prosperous in your heart, you will eventually be prosperous externally. If you see yourself well in your heart, then you will eventually be well externally in your body. And I know that there's many people that will take issue with that, and you're welcome to your opinion, but I'm not going to agree with you or we'd both be wrong. This is true. This is what the Word of God says. I'm telling you, your heart is the central issue. And so we've got to deal with our heart. So let me share some things with you that God showed me about a hardened heart. And I know that when I use this term, hardness of heart, that a lot of people just immediately dismiss this and think, oh, I don't have a hardened heart. Well, see, this was exactly where I was. I thought that a hardened heart was only for people who are God haters, people who are out there living in drunkenness and debauchery of all kinds and things like this. I thought those were only God haters. I loved God. And when the Lord showed this to me, I was in ministry. I was already on radio. I was traveling. I was ministering. I loved God. I'd been seeking God for 2 decades at the time. And I loved God. And if somebody would have said, you got a hardened heart, I would have instantly dismissed it until the Lord showed me some things. Let me just say some things. I'll go to these scriptures and I'll verify this and show it to you. But I believe that every person, every one of us, and myself included, every single person, every born-again believer, regardless of how much you love God, has a hardened heart to God in some area of your life. You could be sensitive to God over here in one area and very hardened towards God in another area. And I think that this is a malady that affects most of us. As a matter of fact, I believe that most Christians today have a hardened heart towards God overall, generally. Now, there's many of you that may take offense at that, but before you can fix the problem, you've got to recognize where the problem is. If you think that the problem is with God, that God just isn't answering your prayers, that somehow or another God isn't faithful, well, then you got a serious problem. If you think that it's all other people, if you could just pray and get these people out of your life, if you could get a new wife or a new husband or a new kid or whatever, and if you could get rid of your job, and if you could just have all of these external things change, if that's the way that you're trying to approach solving your problems is praying that God would change anybody and everybody else, then you got a problem. I'm telling you that your life, the quality and the victory in your life is directly proportional to the sensitivity of your heart towards God. If your heart is sensitive towards God, that will do more to change external things than all of your prayers for changing them will ever be. I believe that all of us have areas of our life where we are insensitive towards God. As a matter of fact, let me just define the word hardened. If you look it up in the dictionary, if you apply it to like a hardened heart, the word hardened in that sense means cold, insensitive, unfeeling, or unyielding. Now, that's what the dictionary defines the word hardness when it's applied to something like your heart being hardened. It means to be cold, insensitive, unfeeling, or unyielding. Now, if you use that as a definition, let me just ask you, are there areas of your life where you are cold towards God? You know that you should be more passionate, seeking God more with your heart. Well, if that's true, then you have a hardened heart in that area. Are there areas of your life where you are insensitive towards God, where you know that you should be hearing the voice of God and being led by God, and yet it's just hard for you to receive? Then according to Scripture, you have a hardened heart. Unfeeling. You aren't able to feel the joy and the blessing of the Lord. You know things. You know that Jesus died for you. You know that you should have a greater relationship with God, but you just are not feeling the blessing and the joy and the peace of God. Then that's a definition of a hardened heart. And it also says that it is unyielding. Is there any area of your life where God is leading you in this direction and yet you aren't yielding to Him? You're doing things your own way. God is leading you to control your weight and to discipline yourself and to glorify God with what you eat, and yet you're going a different direction. It's hardened heart. God is leading you to live within your means financially, and yet you are overspending and you're impulse buying and you're doing things on credit that you know you shouldn't do. Well, then you got a hardened heart in that area. You know that God is leading you to exercise. God is leading you to take care of your body. He's leading you towards health, and yet your life is going towards sickness. Then you're hardened in that area. I believe I can verify all of this by Scripture. Let me just take the Scriptures that God used to open up my eyes and begin this process. Here in Mark chapter 6, there was a time where I was actually flying on an airplane from Toledo, Ohio, over to, I believe it was Chicago. And we were in this airplane. We were up above the clouds. I'm sure that many of you have had this experience where there was just a solid layer of clouds, and we were above those. And I remember I was sitting in an airplane seat by the window, and I was just reading through Mark chapter 6. And in verses 35 through 45 is where Jesus fed the 5,000 men with five loaves and two fish. Now, it was only the number of men. There was also women and children there. We know that because He took a lad, a child's small lunch that he had, and that's what He used to multiply and feed these people. So there was 5,000 men. There was women and children. There was at least 10,000, maybe 15,000 people. And He took this very tiny amount of food and just miraculously multiplied it and fed all of the people. And so I had just read that, and boy, I was just amazed. I was just taking this in about the awesome display of God's power that Jesus had. And I was thinking about this. And then in verse 45, right after the feeding of this 5,000, it says, "And straightway He constrained His disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while He sent away the people. And when He had sent them away, He departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and He alone on the land. And He saw them toiling in rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night," that would make this somewhere around 3 to 6 a.m. If you divide the nighttime into four equal shifts, you would have from 3 to 6 a.m. would be the last shift or the fourth watch of the night. So somewhere around 3 to 6 a.m., He cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. But when they saw Him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out, for they all saw Him and were troubled. And immediately He talked with them and saith unto them, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And He went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. And you know, as I read this passage of Scripture, I was just really overwhelmed. just like it says right here about the disciples, that they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. That's exactly the way that I was. You know, I'm sure that many of you can relate to this, that there's times that you read the Bible and your mind is someplace else. You're thinking about something else, but you've got, two or three chapters you intended to read, and you're going through the motions, but your mind is somewhere else. If you were to close your Bible and somebody said, "What did you just read?" you wouldn't even be able to tell them which book of the Bible you were in. You read it, and it just was like water off a duck's back. It didn't penetrate. It didn't seem to touch you. I think all of us have had experiences like that. But then on the other hand, there are times that you read the Word that, I mean, it is penetrating. It is going straight to your heart. And that's the way that this was. I was reading this, and I was just overwhelmed thinking about the magnitude of this miracle. I mean, here were the disciples in a crisis situation where they were about to drown. It's basically, I've been on the Sea of Galilee before, and if you just rowed a boat across the Sea of Galilee, it's a 1 to 2 hour trip, 2 hours maximum. It's only two, I forget exactly how far it is, but just a few miles across the Sea of Galilee. A couple of hours you could normally make it across this sea. They departed before sunset. And yet at between 3 and 6 a.m. in the morning, somewhere around 9 to 12 hours later, they were in the midst of the sea. They had gotten halfway in 9 hours what it normally would have taken only 2 hours to cover the entire distance. This shows you the fierceness of this storm and the way that the wind was contrary to them. And it says that their boat was full. They were about to drown. They were struggling to survive. And in the midst of this situation, here comes Jesus walking on top of the very thing that's about to kill them. Now, that just amazed me. Man, I was thinking about how God, you know, we sometimes get into a crisis situation. The doctor tells you you're going to die. Your mate tells you they're going to divorce you. You have a financial problem or something, and we just get overwhelmed and we go to God like, "Oh God, this is such a big deal." And we sometimes get to thinking that God must even be feeling that this is really difficult. It's really hard. You aren't sure if God can pull this one off. But you know, that's not true. Here was Jesus walking on top of the very thing that was about to kill the disciples. And notice it says that he would have passed by them. That means that he didn't just come running out there yelling and waving his arms and saying, "Hey guys, hold on, here I come." No, he just was casually strolling. He revealed himself unto them, but he would have walked by them. You know, God wasn't upset about this thing. He appeared to his disciples. It was obvious he was there to help them, but he wasn't going to force his help upon them. He just appeared to them. And if they hadn't have cried out, if they hadn't have asked for help, if they hadn't have made some demand on his power, he would have walked right on by. Boy, that is really revealing about the nature of God. God is there for every one of us. He will manifest himself to you to the point that you will know that he's there and that he has help available, but he's not going to do it for you. You have to call out. You have to draw on that power of God in order to see God's power manifest in your life. And if you just keep quiet, if you don't voice your desire, your need for God, he'll walk right on by. I was just thinking about all of these things. And as I was reading this, I actually looked out the window of that plane. And like I said, we were flying above the clouds. And in my mind's eye, I didn't physically see this, but I just imagined this. I thought, what would it be like if Jesus just came walking across these clouds? Some people think, well, man, that's impossible. Well, it's no more impossible to walk on the clouds than it is to walk on the water. You know what? I just got to thinking about what would it be like if I looked out this window and saw Jesus walking on those clouds and then just walk up to that plane and sit on the wing of the plane and look over and wave at me or something. How would I respond to something like that? How would you respond? And as I was meditating on this, I read the disciples' reaction. It says they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. And I was thinking, God, that's exactly the way I am. I was just literally overwhelmed. It's like it took the spirit out of me. It's like I had no more breath in me. You know, like it talks about the Queen of Sheba when she came to Solomon over there in 1 Kings or 2 Kings chapter 10. And I was just overwhelmed, and I was, you know, I was feeling really good about being overwhelmed. I was thinking anybody, if they really were reading this and meditating on it and getting the full impact of what was happening, they should be shocked, overwhelmed to read about Jesus just walking on the water. And then if you put together, to get the full impact of this instance, you have to combine Matthew's account in Matthew chapter 14 is where this is recorded. And in that instance, Peter said, "Lord, if it be you, bid me come unto you on the water." And so he got out of the boat and he walked on the water for a period of time. He took his eyes off of Jesus, began to sink, and Jesus and him walked back to the boat. And then as you read it over in John's account, John chapter 6, it says that when Jesus and Peter got back in the boat, that immediately the boat and the occupants of the boat, Jesus and the 12 disciples, were instantly translated to the other side of the lake. That's a 2 or 3 mile, just instantly they were, boom, at the shore like this. Now see, you put all this together, and Jesus comes walking on the water, would have passed by them, but they called out. And so Peter walked on the water and Jesus lifted him up. They walked back. Instantly, the boat was translated to the other side and there was a great calm. The wind ceased. The waves stopped. Instantly, it was just like glass on that sea. I was thinking about all of this and I was sore amazed in myself beyond measure and wondered and thinking, God, this is the way we should be. We should be overwhelmed, shocked, Just amazed at your awesome power. And then I read the next verse, and this is where God began to show me something that has changed my life. It says in verse 52, it says, "For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened." Now, this is right after this instance of Jesus walking on the sea, them being translated to the other shore. It says that they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered for. The word "for" is a conjunction. In other words, it's linking two thoughts together. The reason that they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered was because they had not considered the miracle of the loaves for their heart was hardened. And here was a lightning bolt revelation that came to me right there on that plane as I was thinking about all of this. The Lord said the reason these disciples were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered, the reason you are sore amazed just even thinking about this, is because you have a hardened heart. And I mean, it was just like somebody slapped me. It was that stark of a revelation. All of a sudden, I began to realize that a hardened heart isn't only talking about somebody who is a God hater. Somebody who is in rebellion towards God. I would say, yes, those people have a hardened heart towards God. But here I was, a minister of the gospel. Here I was, a person that loved God with all of my heart. I'd been seeking God for 2 decades. I loved God. I was studying the Word. I was reading. I was reading about the miraculous demonstration of God's power. And basically, the Lord says, if you are shocked, if you are amazed, if you are surprised to see the demonstration of God's power, then that is an indication that you have a hardened heart, that you are cold, insensitive, unfeeling, or unyielding towards God. Now, hear what I'm saying. I am not saying that we should get to where the things of God don't bless us and we shouldn't be blessed and excited and thankful for them. But I am saying that we ought to get to where we are so in tune with God that to see God's power demonstrated is not shocking. It's not surprising. It doesn't amaze us. It ought to be the normal. We ought to get to a place to where we live so much in the supernatural that it's not abnormal for us to see God's power in demonstration. And this is what God began to show me. He says, you know, these disciples, he rebuked them and he says it is because of the hardness of their heart that they were sore amazed. And he said, the reason that you are so shocked when you see the demonstration of my power is because your heart is hardened. It's insensitive, unfeeling, unyielding to God. It's because, like most people, I'm more human than I am supernatural. The truth is, when you get born again, you get changed on the inside, and we have the ability to walk with God and to live in the spirit realm. We can walk by faith and not by sight, what it says in 2 Corinthians 5:7. But most of us, even after we're born again, are more carnal, more dominated by our five senses. We live in this natural world more than we live in the supernatural world. And to many of us, the supernatural power of God is abnormal. And the scriptural terminology for that is that our heart is hardened towards God. It is sensitive towards the natural more than it is towards God. It's hardened towards God and sensitive towards the natural. Don't look at me in that tone of voice. You know, right now, if I could see you, I know that there's many of you thinking, oh, well, this is, you know, you can't live to a place where you aren't shocked. Yes, you can. I believe that you can. I'm not saying that I've arrived there. But I am saying that this is what God began to speak to me. That I was living in a realm where my heart was used to, it embraced, it related easier to the physical, natural world than it did to the spiritual world. And most people would think, well, that's normal. Well, it's normal if you just look around and take an average of people, but if you look at what the Word of God says and what's available to us, it's abnormal. This is not the way that God made us to be. You know, let me give you an example of this. That one time in Omaha, Nebraska, I was ministering in a church there, and I remember calling out through the gifts of the Spirit a number of different healings. And one of those healings was that somebody had crossed eyes and that God was healing them. There was a young boy that was about 11 or 12 years old that came up there, and his eyes were crossed so badly that he had to have someone lead him up there to the place where I was praying for people. And so anyway, he came forward. I laid hands on him. I believed. I spoke over him and commanded healing. But I was expecting that healing to come gradually. And I was getting ready to prepare him. Now, don't get discouraged if you don't see perfectly immediately. Sometimes the Bible says you lay hands on the sick and they shall, future tense, recover. And I was getting ready to tell him these things. And when I opened up my eyes and I was getting ready to tell him this, all of a sudden his eyes were perfect. And when I saw that, here was the great man of God. You know what I did? I said, I don't believe it. I mean, it shocked me. I was amazed. And the moment that that happened, you know what happened? His eyes crossed back again. And when I saw that happen, man, I repented. I said, God, I'm sorry. I said, I repented. I went back and I prayed for this guy for like 10 or 15 minutes. I never did see his eyes go back straight the way they were supposed to be. And you know what? That's what I'm saying is here I was praying for his healing. I was believing for that. And yet when I saw it, it shocked me. You know what that reveals? That reveals that I had a hardened heart in that area. I was willing to accept a gradual healing, but to see an instantaneous miracle, it was just, I wasn't believing for that. It was an indication that my heart was insensitive to God. I was more into the natural realm, gradually something coming. But to just see a supernatural, instantaneous miracle, you know what? My heart was hardened. And because of that, I didn't see that healing manifest the way that it's supposed to. See, that's an indication. You don't have to be a God hater. You don't have to be in total rebellion. Just be more sensitive to the natural realm than you are to the supernatural realm. And that's an indication of a hardened heart.
The faithful support of partners makes this program possible. We invite you to join Andrew as he spreads the message of God's unconditional love and grace. Write, call, or visit our website and become a partner today.
Andrew's complete teaching series titled Hardness of Heart is available on either CD or on DVD as seen on our daily TV program. Each is offered for a gift of any amount. Remember to specify the CD or DVD when you order. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. Or, if you prefer, the Hardness of Heart teaching series is available in book form when you send a gift of any amount. The first audio teaching in today's series is also available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this first CD titled The Crisis, free of charge. We'd like to remind you that we're offering Andrew's latest book titled Effortless Change for a gift of any amount. Contact us today to get your copy. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Houston, Texas for a Gospel Truth Seminar February 10th through the 12th, and in Colorado Springs, Colorado for Charis Bible College Campus Days March 9th through the 11th. He'll also be in Orlando, Florida for a Gospel Truth Seminar March 31st through April 2nd, and in the Washington, D.C. area for a Gospel Truth Seminar April 14th through the 16th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
I want to make you aware that we now have our ministry, our Bible college ministry, available on online Bible school. And what this does, it allows you to go at your pace, take as many courses as you want, but you're still in a structured class situation where you have interaction with other students as well as a facilitator. It helps discipline you, but you can go at your own pace anywhere in the world. We have a web address on the screen, and I encourage you to go check out our online Bible school today. In that healing, because I tell you, people need to know that the Lord wasn't pleased with his disciples in Philippi.
In 1996, students from Charis Bible College began providing sandwiches to the homeless in parks and under bridges in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Soon, they opened a food pantry in one room of the already overcrowded Bible College. Little did they know that these small steps would one day lead to an organization with an annual budget of more than $2.5 million. As the Springs Rescue Mission celebrates its 14th year of building hope and saving lives, more than 1,450,000 meals have been provided to the hungry and homeless, opening a doorway to hope for a better life through recovery programs, emergency services, counseling, and job training.
Compassionate people hearing the message that Andrew was preaching about the love of God and then taking that and doing something with it.
For more information on this and other stories, visit awmi.net. Click on Ministry News and discover what's happening at Andrew Womack Ministries. Invest yourself in Charis Bible College and Andrew Womack Ministries today.